lesson 14 in our discipleship, okay, whole area of praying, okay? Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning we can come. Thank you for the mothers that are here. We pray you bless them richly as they learn your precious word. And after that, as during the service, we also, Lord, you also speak to them in a special way because it's their day. Lord, we thank you that we can come into your house. Pray for the brethren who are on your way. We pray that they will not get very wet. Father, keep them safe. For those who are driving, I pray you keep them safe. And so, Lord, that they'll come here quickly that they might learn from your precious word again. So, Lord, we pray for a blessed time. And that, Father, whatever we learn will either reinforce what we already know and are practicing. Also, Lord, to encourage us to practice this practice of prayer in the last days. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 first as we begin. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. That will be our memory verse. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Let's read together, right? Ephesians 6 and verse number 18. We're going to look at the whole area of praying and prayer and how we can actually practice that, okay? Ephesians 6, 18, let's read that together. Ready? One, two, go. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay. The Apostle Paul actually talked about, Ephesians chapter 6 is about what? Aspect of the Christian life. Whenever we think of Ephesians chapter 6, we talk about the armor of God. Okay, the armor of God. Paul talks about fighting against principalities and powers. You look at verse 12. He talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul talks about the fact that in our everyday Christian life, in our everyday life, there are certain powers that we fight against that we can never win because we can't see them. Okay, we can't see them, but we can actually see how they are working, destroying lives, disobedience, just very sad things that are happening. And Paul actually encourages a Christian, as they look at all these things around, to put on the gospel armor, the whole armor of God, and he ends the gospel armor with praying. I was just studying verse 18. The Bible says praying always. Okay, the idea of praying always has to do with always. Always pray without ceasing. With all prayer and supplication. That means all kinds of prayer. Thanksgiving, worship, intercession, communicating with God, requesting. All kinds of prayer in the Spirit. The idea of that we have to be filled with the Spirit. Okay? And then after watching that too, with all perseverance. This is an interesting phrase. I was studying different book on this as well, and the author was mentioning the idea of perseverance as the idea of even when we are sleepy. Even when we are sleepy. The hardest thing for a soldier on the field waiting for the enemy to come, in the army, one of the biggest struggles we have at night is actually with the darkness. We're supposed to stay alert because of the enemy coming, but at the same time, it's very hard to stay awake. Because you want to fall asleep, because darkness actually makes you want to fall asleep. But the idea of all perseverance means with all sleeplessness. In other words, no matter how hard your flesh wants to pull you down, you're fighting it. And let's be honest, when we pray, I've been in prayer meetings where you can hear people snoring. Yeah, I've been in prayer meetings where I was snoring. Okay, it's quite sad, but I mean, in Singapore, we're tired. We are definitely very tired in Singapore because so many things to do. But you know, all the more as Christians, we need to be disciplined. Okay? And when Paul talks about all perseverance, he literally means sleeplessness. Okay? All sleeplessness. And then for praying for all the saints. And one of the things that the Lord is convicting my heart about, really praying for everyone every time. And sometimes it's tiring. Okay? One of the things that Jeremiah, when he was younger, when he was studying Old Testament, he talked about the priest, the high priest Aaron, you know, Aaron's garments, you know, the Aaronic priest garment. high priest actually wears a certain type of garment. And it's interesting that the breastplate of the high priest are the jewels, and each there are 12. And the idea of the high priest carrying the 12 tribes of Israel on his heart. So as a high priest of the entire nation of Israel, the high priest is supposed to be praying for every tribe. In other words, he carries them close to his heart. Okay? And we need to be praying like that. I'm going to be going through this. One missionary, Brother David Cloud, actually mentioned this. Prayer changes things, and nothing is changed without prayer. When we understand this, this is so important. As in our church, we are trying to put a lot of emphasis in prayer. Okay, prayer changes things, and nothing is changed. Without prayer, no one can be saved. Without prayer, no sermon can be blessed. Without prayer, no marriage can be victorious. Without prayer, no child will turn out right. Without prayer, and no church will stay in God's will without prayer. Okay, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 2, I mentioned this on Friday during our prayer meeting. And it's interesting because sometimes you can read the Bible for many, many years and then finally God catch your attention on something important. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible teaches us, I exhort, okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, the word exhort means I encourage and challenge you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, the giving of thanks be made for all men. The first thing Paul encourages in the church is prayer. It's not service. It's not any other thing. It's not celebration activities. It is prayer. Okay? The first thing Paul encourages in the church is prayer. The word first of all in the Greek means first in importance. First in importance. Okay? So with that in mind, this is a when I read that, how true it is that when we try to serve God, when we try to do things for God without prayer, many times it falls flat. Okay, and then sometimes we get discouraged. Oh, how come our planning is no good, and how come we got not enough money, and all that. It all boils down to prayer. Okay. So we're going to be looking at. Okay. Nothing in the Christian life is more important than prayer. There are more than 500 references to prayer in the Bible. And you find that I recently was looking down prayer lists, and there are over about, in every book, there are actually specific prayers by specific men in the Bible, but there is also teaching on prayer. And you find that every prophet is a prayer warrior. Every apostle was a prayer warrior. And it's important for us to know every man of God. In our family devotions, we study through Nehemiah, and you find that every point after Nehemiah had said something, the first thing, the last thing he did, to not that he put God last, but as he's serving God, he always said, God, this is what I've done, you need to bless it. You need to take control of it. You need to actually help it. Okay? So, let's press. Okay. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Prayer can be learned. Or rather, must be learned, but it can be learned. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, let's all turn there. Prayer can be learned. Okay? The Bible says in Luke 11, verse 1, let's read together. Okay? And it came to pass, ready? 1, 2, go. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And this is one thing in discipleship we need to actually teach our. You know, sometimes they say, oh, you just say, Lord, just say. No, we actually have to teach the people to pray. Prayer is a taught thing. It's actually taught. And for some very spiritually minded people, they'll say, no, don't worry. When the Holy Spirit is in you, you will be able to pray. No. The disciples actually asked Jesus, can you please teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray, okay? The heart is a different thing, but we need to start praying. Like, for example, when little children start to talk, and you want the child to keep on practicing so that when they grow, they start to form words and letters and all that. So in praying, it can be learned, and it must be learned. Okay, John Bunyan was the one who said, prayer is unnatural to man. Prayer is unnatural to man. We don't want to pray. I'm talking about real prayer. We can give thanks for our food. Sometimes it becomes mechanical. We kind of say the same things again and again. We need to be very careful, okay? Prayer must be learned, can be learned. Let's turn to Hebrews 4:16, okay? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Okay, this is a very familiar passage. The Bible says, "For we have not an high priest," which refers to Jesus, "which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." That means this high priest actually understands what we go through and how we feel when we actually go through this, the feeling of our infirmities. "But was in all point tempted like as we are, and yet without sin." In comparing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are certainly very much weaker. Okay? But this passage actually tells us, actually not that the Lord Jesus is stronger than us. He's telling us that Jesus went through what we went through. He understands what we go through. And yet, with the help of the Holy Spirit, which we also need, the Lord Jesus was without sin. Okay? And many Christians have actually used this to justify themselves. "Oh, I'm a human being. God is strong. Definitely He can." No, the reason why Jesus was made a man is to show us that Jesus actually came to planet Earth, lived a human life, he lived a human life, but because he was filled with the Spirit, and that's an important principle, he's teaching us that when we submit to the Holy Spirit, we can have victory in our Christian life. We can have. We don't have to live a defeated Christian life. We don't have to live a life that we cannot overcome. Okay, although the influences of the world is strong, we can overcome, okay? And so, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, prayer acknowledges our inadequacy, for many times we fall. Prayer acknowledges our inadequacy, okay? When we pray, we say, "God, we can't do it. We really can't." Prayer is casting ourselves to God. The verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Boldly unto the throne of grace. We need to come boldly. What does it mean to come boldly? Many of us, sometimes when we pray, not many of us, sometimes when we pray, we have a tendency to, "God, you know, I'm not really sure," and all that. And we come as if hesitating. We hesitate to come to God. God says, "No, you come boldly." That's it. "Heavenly Father, we need this. Heavenly Father, we need that. Heavenly Father, we need your help. Heavenly Father, you know, my loved one is not safe. I need you to help." And to come boldly, and the word boldly is not to think that we have the right, but it's to come with a heart desire, say, "Lord, we really need your help." There's nothing in between to stop us from asking God for it. And God actually encourages us to come boldly. Boldly, with courage. Alright? You don't have to be afraid. Alright? Even the weakest Christian can come boldly to God. Okay? And you look at any young toddler, you just run to God. Or run to their parents without, don't care about what. Basically, being bold means to come to God without anything hindering your heart, your mind. And you just run to God boldly, okay? By casting ourselves to God, He's obtaining mercy. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. The idea of obtaining mercy means sometimes in our situation in life, we feel that we can't make it. I feel that we are going to fail. We feel that whether individually as a church, "Lord, things are collapsing, things are in ruin. God, we need your mercy." Actually, we're believing God to actually be able to lift us out of that. And He can. That's mercy. It may be because of our weakness, maybe because of things that we can't do or can't foresee. We make certain decisions and we fall. We come into the throne of grace. All seeing God sees the whole plan and can lift us up by His mercy. We're there to ask God for mercy. Okay? Because we are so weak, and sometimes we make decisions that may not be right, but it is to come to God to get mercy from Him, and also is to get grace to help in times of need. Every time we need something, grace to help has the idea of, "I don't deserve this, but God, I know you can do it. I know you can come through for us. Okay, I know you can do it for us. I think one of the things that we are thankful, sometimes we can get discouraged because certain things happen, but when we are in it, see God actually blessing us with it. All right. So getting grace, God's favor to help us when we have difficulties and trials. I had one friend many years ago. We actually, last time when I was in junior college, we actually in the morning had to meet to pray. And there was one particular person who actually says, I'm very scared of the exam. And how many of you know who's Atomic Liao? Atomic Liao was one of our, his name is Atomic, yeah, Atomic Liao. Okay, he's one of our science teachers and biology, all right? And so whenever he teaches on evolution, because he has to for A-levels, before the class, he will say, class, what I'm going to teach you is a load of rubbish. It's a load of rubbish, okay? Because he was supposed to teach on evolution. It's a load of rubbish, but I will teach you because you're A-levels, okay? Yeah. So, but anyway, this particular friend of mine, she was actually taking a test that day. And he said, oh, there are 16 chapters. I only studied the first three. So she was, so we prayed. Interesting, later she came out, hey, all the questions came out from the first three chapters only. Sometimes we don't know what God is doing. I'm not saying don't study, just study two chapters and pray that God will only everything come out. No, that's not the idea, okay? Just that in that situation, there were some things happened and she wouldn't study everything. But you know, God knows our needs. And it's amazing how God can come through for us. So these are small instances where God came through. But it's important for us as a Christian who maybe feels defeated, a Christian may feel weak, a Christian may feel that life is unfair, a Christian may feel that, oh, I'm doing so much. Why? That's when you just come before God. And I've understood this. Humans always want reasons for things happening. Actually, all we need is God. I think that the example of a child in pain or maybe sprain his ankle, he's not going to ask, oh, mommy, why my ankle sprain? No, he just run to parents, grab the parents, because she just needs that encouragement. Okay. So when we come to God, and sometimes one of the big things is when you come to God in my own prayer life is I've learned that we want answers, but actually God says, no, you don't need answer, you need me. Remember Job when he went through suffering? Remember the book of Job? You know, remember Job? Job, yes, Job. Okay. He was asking all these questions, cursed the day I was born and all that kind of thing. After everyone has had his day, God came in with 88 questions. Answer me if you know. What God was trying to tell Job is, look, in life things will happen. I allow it to happen. It doesn't mean I don't care for you, but you need to learn to trust me. And later on, Job said, Lord, I acknowledge that you are God. I'm just someone that is you've created. And Job was able to submit to the Lord. Okay, one of the big things is to go to God to obtain his mercy, okay, as we go through trials and difficulties. Any questions? The prayer must be very natural to the Christian, okay? Okay, let me see what we have next. To pray, okay, nine essential elements that you need for prayer. And for those who came for prayer meeting, maybe in the earlier months of January, we'll touch a little bit more. But this is just a repackaged differently, but it's essentially same principles. Hopefully it's a reinforcement. For those who are practicing prayer, you'll find that these are all very real. Okay, but for those who need to practice prayer, you need to put those things in mind. Okay, firstly, we need to be reverent. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Just now we look at it. The disciples came to ask Jesus, Lord, please teach us to pray as John taught also his disciples. Okay? But in verse 2, the Lord Jesus Christ actually taught them. And this is the point. For us, next time after you finish, some of us have grown in Christ, and the Lord may ask some people of you to disciple other people, don't take prayer for the young believer. When you say, I cannot pray, you need to encourage, you need to just pray. You need to pray. Okay, this is what you need to do. To actually give them, as it were, a model first. You need to teach them. For parents, you need to teach your children. They need to be able to pray in a way that will honor the Lord. Okay, the first one, prayer must be reverent. The Bible says in verse 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, the assumption is that you will pray. Because you come and ask me, I'm assuming you will pray. Every Christian must pray, okay? When ye pray, say. This is what you say, okay? But some people took it literally. You can actually pray the disciples' prayer literally if you mean it with all your heart. You can, okay? But the principles are here. Our Father which art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. This verse teaches us that Jesus says the first thing when you come to God, firstly, you must acknowledge that God is above all, He's sovereign. I was talking to someone, I think, on Wednesday night after tracting, and we were discussing about how Christians sometimes when we pray or when we ask God for things, we negotiate with God. And as I was talking, I believe the Lord was trying to impress on our hearts one thing. When we come to God and we make provisions for what you call that, let's say God tells us to give, let's say, okay? And then we begin to ask questions. Well, you know, maybe not this week, maybe next week. But God just says, give. Okay? And we came to the point that we discussed that when we are able to negotiate with God the conditions of His word, we no longer treat God as God. You think about that, huh? When we come to God's word and we are able to negotiate the word of God, I say, I don't think this means this, I think it means that. When God says very clearly, something like, give and it shall be given to you, the word give is actually something, how much to give and all that is different. But when we can negotiate with God, how faithful we need to be, how much we need to serve, how much whatever, when we are able to negotiate with God, we no longer treat God as God, or we treat Him as someone who pays our salary. We treat Him as a human boss. Having said that, it is true that we can come to God and discuss with Him. But the first attitude we must have is that our God is our God. He's the master. He's in charge. And unless our heart is in total submission to say, Lord, I know I can discuss this, but Lord, whatever you say, I'll listen. Okay? And I believe in Singaporean Christianity, we have come to the point that we can look at a person's life. The trend of the person's life is always giving excuses, reasons why he cannot do certain things, or why they should be done in a certain way, or what I don't like. Or people want to serve God in their own capacity. And they don't want to listen to the Bible, they don't want to listen to people in authority. Now, when we do that, we're not treating God as God. Because in that case, I can run the church anyway, I think. The church should be run. But there are certain things that's non-negotiable. Non-negotiable because God said sin. Does that make sense? Okay? So when we understand that, when we come to God in prayer, the same attitude needs to be there. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, you are in charge. And say, hallowed be thy name. Lord, as I pray, I want your name to be holy and set apart. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What does it mean? Lord, I'm praying that this church will be strong because you are the king. And when we pray, the kind of prayer is in submission to a king, not just someone that we... A lot of Christians today treat Jesus Christ as someone you can put your hands over. I don't believe when Kim Jong-un comes to Singapore, Donald Trump comes, hey, hi, hi Don, how are you? And you put your hand around him. I think he's all the Secret Service guys who pull you aside and give it to you. Say, who are you? Does that make sense? I'm sure Donald Trump will come and shake, maybe if Joseph is there, his voice brigade, whatever. He will shake hands with you, but you maintain your distance. Why? Not because he's... It's just you give him that respect that is due to a president. You know, Christians today take God so frivolously. We need to come in prayer especially. We need to have that reverential spirit. Okay? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, not my will, thy will be done. As in heaven, every angel in heaven does exactly what God says. You know, the angels probably scratching their head. How come this Pastor Johnny don't listen to God and God still let him go? You probably have that kind of thought. You know how much liberties we take with God? You know how much excuses we give with God and God tolerates us? But you know, in prayer, it's a very important place where you are face to face with God. Number one, you must have a reverential spirit. You, Does that make sense? I hope I've explained enough. Okay, we need to have that as a church when we come before the Lord. We must be reverent. Let's turn to Psalm 66, verse 18. Number two, we must confess our sins. Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 66, verse 18. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Does anyone need me to explain this? The word regard means consider. If I regard, in other words, let's say sin is there, if I give consideration to it, if I try to explain it away, if I consider and keep sin, I know sin is there, and I keep it in my heart, the psalmist David actually says, God's not going to hear me. By the way, that's a faithful promise of God. If we have sinned in our life, God's not going to hear us. Full stop. We can pray till the cows come home. We can pray for people to be saved. It's not going to happen. It is just not going to happen because God is going to be faithful to his word. Our whole God is so holy, he cannot tolerate sin. And certainly he will answer the prayer of his children, even though they plead with him, when they keep sin in their hearts. That's why as pastor, I'm very stern against sin. Because if you have sinned, you know what happens? You can never be blessed. I can never be blessed. Because God would say so. Does that make sense? There will be no blessing. Neither now nor in the future of your life. If there is sin in our life. And this is something we need to take this seriously. Alright, I know sometimes when I talk about this, people will kind of, okay. You know what you need to do? Confess it. Confess it. If you know you have an exam 2 weeks from now and you don't understand a certain concept or you understand it wrongly, what do you do? I remember when Esther Joy was doing PSLE, I didn't know to change the Chinese oral syllabus until 2 days before. Remember? English. I think English syllabus, they changed. I didn't know they changed the PSLE syllabus until 2 days before. Wow, Matt scrambled to popular. Thank God they still actually have one more copy left. I bought it, and for the 2 days before the English language as oral, we chiong. Why? Because I want her to do well. I want her to be prepared. Don't you want to be prepared for life? That's why I'm saying it is. You can't understand why people want to keep sin when God says, I'm not going to bless you if you keep sin. You know? It's something that there's a few reasons why people keep sin. Number one, they're so far into sin, they can't see themselves to get out. They've forgotten that they've been purged from their old sins. They're so backslided, they feel they cannot. God always has a U-turn, okay? Number one. Number two, person's not safe. They don't see the seriousness of it, neither would they do anything about it. Okay? So, in prayer, we must confess our sin, otherwise God's not going to hear us. Okay, the next one, we need to be earnest. James chapter 5, verse 16. Let's turn there. James chapter 5, verse 16. James 5, 16. Let's read together. Ready? James 5, 16. Ready? One, two, go. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent, the word fervent means hot and boiling over. You can't control that. No, when something is boiling, you cannot control it. How many of you have made porridge or what and it starts boiling over? You cover so cannot, you keep pushing it out. Why? That's what it means. We need to be earnest. In fact, in our church, when we pray, in our own prayer life, if it's something that's very important to you, you need to be more earnest. Okay? We need to be earnest in our prayer. Next one, we need to be regular. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. I know we're just flipping. I hope you at least write down the verses so you won't forget them. Romans 1, 9. read, "For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Without ceasing. But you need to notice the rest of Paul's life. Paul says, God knows what I'm talking about. He's there all the time. He sees that I pray. And I serve with my heart in the gospel. The spirit has the idea of the innermost being, the being that's in connection with God, the being that's always in relation with God. I serve God with that kind of earnest desire, and that without stopping, I pray for you all the time, without stopping. And it's something that in busy Singapore is very hard. The average, in America, you know what's the statistic of the average Christian that prays? They actually did that. The average Christian in America prays 3 minutes a day. What is even more startling and convicting, you know the average amount of time that pastors pray in America? 9 minutes. Wow, that is so convicting. I've since increased the amount of prayer. You know, in the hidden closet of your life and my life, only you know how much time you pray. And you know, it's a sad state where we don't realize the power really is on our knees. That's why I think I mentioned a few weeks ago, the most important meeting in the church is not the worship service, it's the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting needs to be filled. And I want to encourage us to take that seriously. Okay, we need to be regular. To pray, we must be watchful. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, just now we read about it. The idea of watchful means as we pray, we're actually looking at things that are happening as we pray. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 18, the Bible says, "All praying always, with all prayer and supplication, and watching thereunto with all perseverance." Okay, in other words, let's pretend you're a soldier. You're standing at on top of a castle. You're looking out. Everything is dark. The enemy is coming. You are watching, and you are saying, "Hey, I cannot fall asleep. The enemy is coming. I don't know where he is." Or you're seeing something's happening. You're always watching. And when, as a security guard, as a security guard, when you say, enemy coming, you will call, "Hey, sir, they're coming from the northeast. Sir, they're coming from the southwest. Sir," and you're always watching. You know what the devil does in our prayer life? Get us distracted with other things. So we don't watch unto prayer for the very important things in life. Example, we need to be praying for our loved ones to be safe. That should be number one priority for us. Everyone around us, we need to be watching out for their lives, praying. We need to be watching out for the church. We need to be watching out for the life of the church. And to pray, "Lord, certain things are happening, Lord. I don't know what it is, but Lord, I want to pray that you would intervene in that situation. Lord, it's going to hurt this, it's going to help. It's going to undo this. And we need to be praying. I know as I teach this, it may be foreign to some people. I want to encourage us. We need to pray watching. Or at least the most important thing in your life. We need to pray as we are watchful. Okay? In other words, we need to pray intelligently. We need to know what's happening. A lot of people pray that, "Oh, I hope this person will do this," but we have no idea. We don't communicate with the person. We don't attempt to find out what's happening. We're not watching. We're just praying sometimes mechanical prayers. It sounds very spiritual, you know. "Oh God, I pray that your blessing with the person, they will walk with you." When a person is in sin, and we need to pray, "Lord, you know, Johnny is dealing with this sin in his life, and Lord, help him undo the shackles or whatever the situations." Pray. You just deal with that. You don't pray for a person to walk with God. You pray for a person to deal with sin. And sometimes God says, "You don't need that. You need this." I want to encourage us. And that's where when we learn to interact, find out, not in a capable way. Okay? And if all we want is information, then we should just pray. But if you say, "Lord, I need to help this person, I want to find out more so I can pray more intelligently, help me." Yes. Does that make sense? A lot of people sound very spiritual in their prayers. I'm convicted in my own life that sometimes I pray that too. It's very easy to pray, "Lord, I pray for all the missionaries." What are you referring to? We basically were in touch with three or four missionaries, John Strader, Brother Cloud, Russell, and we know what's happening in their lives, and we pray specifically, Lord, I pray that Russell will find a place that he will plant his church, send him workers. It's very specific to the need. You know, Lord, bless the missionaries. See, God has already done that. He's already done that. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, blessing of God is with his people. You don't have to even pray that. Okay? But you need to pray, Lord, so-and-so is going through a hard time. So-and-so is thinking, Lord, I don't know what. Sometimes, Lord, I don't know what he really needs, but you do. Lord, I just pray you meet him at that need. And maybe you just give a phone call to talk to that person and just go through with him. That's an active Christian life. We've been too passive. So that's why sometimes we can't watch. Okay? We can't watch. So, Pastor, I'm sorry. I make it a point to be kippo. Not because I want to know everything about you. I actually understand what you're going through. So when I pray, I know what's happening. And then sometimes I can't do anything, but I can pray. Okay? Any questions? We need to be watchful in our prayer. Okay? Next one, we need to be persistent. Colossians 4:2. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's the next book. Continue in prayer. But Brother Johnny, after praying a while, you get very tired. That's why the Bible says continue in prayer. Unceasing. Without stopping. It's kind of like our Singapore Police Force or Army. Continue in your training. You may feel it's tiring. You may get injuries. But you need to continue in your training. Why? Just in case a terrorist strikes, you'll be ready. All the training our police army goes through is just to protect us from one event. And we don't know when it will come. But when it comes, if we have been training, we'll be ready. And I believe many Christians are not ready for trials because they haven't been continuing in prayer. And many Christians fall because they don't continue persistently in prayer. We need to be persistent. Okay. Next one, this one is very convicting. We need to have a good husband-wife relationship. Okay, let's turn to 1 Peter 3:7. I've already convicted my heart about this. And I think it's just true. The Bible said so. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Initially, I thought that your prayers, meaning your husband and wife. No. God says, you husbands. The context talks only to the husbands. Because God had dealt with the wife already earlier. Okay? And so as men, if God gives you a wife, those who are not married, our prayers will never be answered by God if we don't have a good husband-wife relationship. Romans 15:30, we need to always pray together with others. This is one of the secrets that Satan has used against many churches. Romans 15, and let's turn there, then I'll explain what I mean. 15:30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus' sake, and that for the love of the Holy Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. What Paul is saying, you know, one phenomenon in our church and many churches, when someone goes through a crisis, they don't want to tell people. I know there are certain situations that we need to be quiet, but I believe that's when God, the devil effectually destroys that person. And the reason why people don't want to let other people know what's happening in their lives is because of pride. It's just because of pride. They don't want to let other people know what's happening because of pride, okay? And to pray, we must be willing to let other people know. Of course, you're going to tell the whole world, you know, advertise on Straits Times and all that. You don't have to do that. But at least talk to those concerned people and that you can pray and strive together with them. We need to get past this in our church. We need to, don't be so secretive. And the idea is not so much not to give each other space, but to be willing to say, Lord, there's something so serious in my life. I need people to pray for me. I need people that I know I can trust, people that won't bring it up, tell the whole world, that kind of thing. And that we will be able to respect each other, but no, have small groups and you pray specific for a certain situation. My role as pastor is to pray for all the church members. Okay, and there's certain things that I do have privileged information. But you know, it baffles me that some Christians don't want to tell the pastor. I'm not saying this so that everyone will tell me everything. I'm saying that at least let me know, I can pray for you. Because at the judgment seat, I'm supposed to give an account too. All right? But in this principle of praying together with others, we need to learn. And sometimes we don't let people know because we are afraid. And that's where Satan eventually cuts off. One strategy of the devil for Christians is to isolate and destroy. Okay? I say again, one principle of Satan in many people's life is isolate and destroy. Okay? Is isolate the person and destroy the person. And that's why, honestly, we do have families that choose to be just quiet over everything that's happening. So they can... Basically, we've fallen into the ploy of the devil that Satan can just have a good time, just keep on whacking this family, just keep on whacking this family, wrong thoughts, wrong philosophies, and this family continuously block other people out. Essentially, then God will just destroy the person. Rather, the devil will just destroy the person. Okay? What's the purpose of the church? It's so that we can get together and pray. Okay? So we need to be praying for one another. To pray, we must sometimes combine it with fasting. Let's turn to Matthew 17:21. Okay, Matthew 17:21, for those who just came in, we're looking at 9 essential elements of prayer. But Matthew 17:21. Let me just read the context. The context is there was a man who has a son who was vexed with a devil. And the idea is some people believe he may have epilepsy, so he goes into that kind of medical problem. And they actually brought, this man actually brought the son to the disciples, and the disciples could not cure it. You know, in verse 16, and I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. They can't get rid of this the devil in this person, or rather the sickness. And in verse 17, Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I allow you?" In other words, you guys are praying and you guys are not getting anything. How long am I going to tolerate this kind of lack of faith, you know? And Jesus asked them to bring the child, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and the child was healed. We need to be like the disciples. Why do I say that? You know, in verse 19, although Jesus said, "You guys are faithless," the disciples were curious, "Lord, what is wrong with us that we can't get answers to prayer?" You know, our attitude when we don't get answers to prayer, God's will, Lord. We need to be bold enough to actually, "God, why am I not getting answers to prayer?" Because you know why sometimes we don't ask, "What's wrong with me?" Because we're afraid of the answers. But here, the disciples actually came to Jesus. Why could not we cast him out? "Lord, tell us, you know, we want to be of help." Verse 20, and Jesus says, "Because of your unbelief." When we act inconsistent with God's word, that's unbelief. Or we act away from God's word, that's unbelief. And we try to justify, that's unbelief, okay? But he says, if you have faith just as a grain of a mustard seed, how small is a mustard seed? Mustard seed is something like a sesame seed, but smaller. You know sesame seed? Sesame seeds. So, mustard seed is smaller than a sesame seed. It's smaller. Okay? And if you have that kind of faith, God says that's enough. Because it's not faith in faith, it's faith in God. All the difference. Okay, little Emma, okay, says, I'm scared. But you know what? If Emma puts his faith in someone who is big, and if Emma runs to someone who is big, she's safe. Okay? So it's not how much faith Emma has. Emma is a little girl that in our church. But it's not how much faith Emma has. Is who Emma places his faith in. Okay? So, the reason why some prayers God can answer, but some prayers are in the stronghold of the devil. Some prayers are in a stronghold. Okay? And the Lord Jesus actually said, "How be it, this kind goeth not up but by fasting and prayer." Prayer and fasting. We have 3 weapons in the church: the Word of God, prayer, and fasting. Okay? Is it any wonder that Satan attacks this 3 all the time? He If I give you a Bible quiz today, will we pass it? If I ask you how much time you spend in prayer, would we be embarrassed to be honest about how much time we... I'm not talking about praying for your food. We sure pray, give thanks for our food. I'm praying, setting aside a time, half an hour or whatever, at home to pray. And when we organize fasting and prayer, Satan attacks that. And I want to challenge us. You know, Satan has already gotten rid of this. In the NIV and all the other versions of the Bible, this verse is removed. Satan essentially removed fasting from probably 90% of the Christendom. Because this verse is not in there. You read it. NIV, RSV, all that. It's not in the... They say it's not in the Greek. But in the Textus Receptus, Receive Text isn't there. And fasting, the devil knows, is a very strong weapon. If you want our church to be strong, we'll be at the fasting and prayer. It depends on priority. But here Jesus says, to help this man, you guys don't just pray, guys. You have unbelief. You need to go into fasting as well. Because there's a spiritual stronghold that Satan is strangling this person. Of course, when the Lord came, he just removed that devil, okay? So sometimes, fasting, prayer must be combined with fasting, okay? Okay, how to pray? Just very quickly. Number one, you need to establish your praying ground. Okay, we've talked about this at the beginning of the year, but I just want to quickly go through. Especially establishing your praying ground means, I've seen in prayer meetings where people come and say, oh God, I just pray and thank you. They're not ready to pray. They're falling asleep. Satan say, go ahead, man. You know, we need to establish our praying ground. Praying ground is very important. This is something that I learned when I went to Philippines just recently, but I think it's important. Number one is to treat God as God. You're not in charge. I'm not in charge. God's in charge. Our Father which art in heaven. Lord, you are sovereignly in charge. We are coming to pray because your will needs to be done. Lord, there are certain things happening, but Lord, we know and we want to submit to your will first. Number one. Number two, confess all your sins. When you're not right with someone, if there's sin in your life, you know, can I just, if we have sin in our life, one of the principles of prayer is to confess that. No prayers will be answered if there's sin. In other words, you don't have a praying ground. In other words, we can't have an audience with God, basically, if we regard sin in our life. Okay? We need to establish that praying ground. Acknowledge God as Lord. We need to confess every sin, every known sin. But, Brother Johnny, it's hard. There are certain things that we really struggle with. Well, tell God about it. And make a decision, Lord, I will deal with it because I know thy word says if I regard sin in my heart, you're not going to hear me. So I'm going to have to deal with that. In prayer, we can't play games with God. God knows everything that we go through. And when God says, I want you to talk to me, but if you keep sin in your life, Father, I don't want to talk to you. You know, it's just like a teacher, when a student comes to him, the student knows he didn't do his homework. But then he tries to go, but sure, can I study this? Can I say, sure, we'll just look at him, can you? Can study all that, but you haven't done your homework. That's a thing. You see, God wants us to learn that we can do everything right, but if there's one thing in our heart that we're not willing to deal with, some people think God is petty, some people think it's pastor and petty. No, if you have sin in your life, you don't deal with that, that's the only thing God wants you to get rid of. Because you will have no audience with God. There is no... So I want to challenge us as a church. We need to hear what God is saying. Establish that praying ground. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. And God holds on to his word. Okay? Establishing the praying ground. Once sin is removed, submission to God is done. You have your praying ground. Then you need to prepare. I write notebook, but there are other preparations. Okay? One of the preparation is physical preparation. To me personally, kneeling is the best way because it keeps my heart and my mind clearly on God. The posture of submission, there are three postures in the Bible: kneeling, standing, and lying down prostrate. Okay, these are how the Jews pray. There's a three posture in prayer. All right, I would strongly discourage lying down in bed and looking up and praying. I don't believe it's a sin, but you know what? Very soon you will. Okay, that is very obvious. Okay? Our preparation, the notebook, is to remember what you have been praying for and be able to tick. Okay? I can't remember who he was. I think it was George Mueller. George Mueller, you know, how many of you know George Mueller? I think many of us will know. Apparently, after he passed away, they actually found a book belonging to him. He has 56,000 recorded, dated answers to prayer. Specific answers to prayer. 56,000. But you know how to increase that kind of faith? George Mueller read his Bible 200 times a year. He reads it through. That's how you increase your faith. You know, if you're not studying our Bibles, if you're just treating it as devotion, it's good to spend time with God. But, you know, to study, what does the book of Matthew say? What does the book of Mark say? You know, I know there's this sometimes disconnect, but I want to encourage us as men especially to study the Word, chapter by chapter. What does Luke say? What does... And then say, okay, how does it apply to my life today? Okay? Preparation. Praying techniques, there's two. X is adoration, if you want to write down. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Okay, there are many, many different ways of praying. I'll just introduce you to two. Okay, many of us know X, adoration. Okay, that means basically establishing your praying ground. Confession of sin, thanking God for all the things you have, and then praying for people, supplication. All right, now fingers, what do you mean? This one? The thumb is usually closest to us. You pray for those closest to you. Okay? The thumb. Pray for those who are closest to you. Okay? Those who teach. You know, teach. Teach. A teacher, teach. Point and finger, teach. Okay? So it is a way of remembering. So firstly, closest to you. Number two, those in authority who teach. It could be the president. It could be the science school teacher, the pastor, the father, the whoever, those in authority. Okay? The third finger is the tallest. Okay, teachers and authority are two different things. The tallest one are those people in authority. Okay, so you pray for your father, you pray for the pastor, you pray for the government, you pray for those in authority. Okay? The fourth finger is usually the weakest. So you pray for those who are sick, those who are weak, those who need help. Okay? And the last one, you pray for yourself. Okay? Your needs, your personal requests, and all that, okay? There are many, many different ways. I know another evangelist, what he does is on M, okay? He will preach for missions or something like that. He has his own way of, he has a notebook that he writes down all that he prayed for. Okay? And so these are the two techniques. Some of you may have already your own prayer life. Just continue. If you don't have, if you have not established a praying life, these two could be a way. But if you have, continue to do what you have been doing. Okay, your assignment. Let me just hand out. Okay, the assignment is important. We don't want to be talking about what... We don't just want to be talking about it. But prayer is something that is personal. Okay, question 1 to 6 is basically or whatever we talked about. You can do it at home, but please bring it next week, all right? Let's be faithful students, okay? Thank you. Okay, I hope everyone had a copy. Does anyone need? Okay, let's take it, all right? But the assignment is the key one that allows, okay. Allow us to review the 9 essential elements of prayer. Okay, what I might do is actually I'll just send the PowerPoint to whoever that's here. So you can review the 9 elements of prayer. And as you review them, look at the 9 points and see which are the weak points in your weak points. For example, being persistent is one of the principles of prayer. Say, oh, I'm not really persistent. God, help me to be more persistent. Then you just take that or pick a note and you work hard on that. Okay? So that is for you. All right, there's 2 things. For those who have not established a praying habit, commit to 5 minutes prayer every day for this week. Is that too much? I want to warn us, 5 minutes of prayer for someone who has not started a praying habit is long. But if you would confess your sins, pray for your loved ones, pray for maybe 1 or 2 people in need, pray for yourself, it'll take up 5 minutes. And sometimes you say, well, 5 minutes is not enough. By the way, you want to pray for 10, 15, 20, 50 minutes, just go ahead, okay? I'm just saying for those who have never established a praying life, no young people, teenagers, this is the time to start. Time to start. For many years of my life as a Christian, I've been 35 years a Christian, for many years I've never established a praying habit. And I believe many years, those are rotten years of my life, that because I don't spend time with God, I want to challenge you 5 minutes. I hope it's not too much to ask. I mean, put it this way, God is with you 24 hours a day. Can't you just give him 5 minutes? Let's talk to him. God is with us every day, every minute, every second of our lives, right? Can't you just spend 5 minutes and talk to him? If that to you is a pressure, then it's between you and the Lord. But I want to challenge you as pastor, we need to pray. Okay, for the young people, I'll give you a... Maybe during recess, before you go and buy food, just go to a corridor at the corner that no one is there. Say, okay, I'm going to spend... Even if you just spend 2-3 minutes, it's a start, away from all your friends. And to actually say, I need to do something. Oh, why you know? Oh, I just need to do something. Or if you really know, I need to go and pray first. It's like, huh? You're so square. Well, then, let them call you square. You know? It's okay, because everyone is circles. You're not fitting in. So spend that time in prayer. So before you do, just spend that 5 minutes away from everyone. I think if God is such a good God, that's off. 5 minutes, I don't believe is too much. I want to challenge us. Okay? For those who have established a praying habit, look at the 9 elements of prayer and ask the Lord which one you should be working on. Which areas you need to strengthen in. Okay? And then the last part, which you don't have to hand in. Okay, next week I'd like you all to hand this in, alright? Okay? For accountability, have you committed to 5-minute prayer every day of your week? Okay? And please don't, after that, I don't want to come for Sunday school. Okay? I hope this will help us to help keep us accountable to God and to each other that we are praying. Because ultimately, it doesn't help me, it helps you. I've got to establish my own prayer life. So do you. And I pray that this one is just an accountability. Yes, Pastor, I've done that. And I'll be praying to encourage you to keep on going. Okay? It's not that I want to be capable over every area of life, but if you're not praying, you're not getting God's blessings. Full stop. Alright? And I can pray for God's blessings for you, but you know, one of these days I'm going to die and the people over you are going to die, and if you're a young Christian, and you need to learn to pray. Okay? So hopefully this... There's one part, the last part, I think it's very important before we finish. Personal thoughts. Have my praying life transformed me? Am I becoming more and more like Christ? Am I becoming more and more self-controlled? Am I becoming more and more loving God's word? Thus, are the people around me being blessed more by me because of my life? If not, what are some areas the Lord is asking you to work on? When you spend time with Christ and it doesn't change you, we need to really look hard at that. I mean, this is serious business with God. We live in a generation that don't really give much thought about spiritual things anymore. We claim to be spiritual, but the work of God, the word of God, the works of God, If truly our Christian life is growing, and then hopefully we are all, I want to challenge us that our praying life and our word life ought to accumulate to the establishment of God's will on planet Earth for our friends, our church, and all the people that we are part and parcel of, okay? And sometimes it's just, Satan's very smart. Satan, we can do all the programs we want to do in church, okay? But when you don't pray, you don't read your word, and you don't fast, he's won. Can I say that again as pastor? You know why we organize fasting and praying? Because we need it. You need it, I need it, this church needs it. People not walking with God needs it. If Satan can destroy us at the word of God, at the praying, and at fasting, he's won. one last illustration and I will finish. You know, recently, I think last week, President Donald Trump pulled out the Iran deal, okay? And Iran responded by firing rockets from Syria. Guess what Israel did? Into Israel. Guess what Israel did? Israel has already mapped out. You know, Israel is very smart. They wipe out key installations, the main thing you need to fight. And so it's I think it was a general who said that the Israeli jets have destroyed almost all the major points in Syria that's firing into Israel. Because I disarm you. Satan disarms us very quickly. If we don't take heed to this, mark it down. Sometimes as pastor, I shudder, I always give warnings, but I believe it's so important. If your prayer life is not strong, if your Word of God life is not strong, and you think that fasting and praying is just something else, you're going to backslide far, far away from God. Okay? I want to challenge us in this Sunday school. First of all, 1 Timothy 2:1, the most important thing in Ambassador Baptist Church, I'll say this, many members are here, the most important meeting in Ambassador Baptist Church is not the Sunday service, it's the prayer meeting. And I hope, I'm not saying then, therefore I don't come for worship. But I'm saying that it is when we get together with God and say, God, this is what we need and we are begging you for it. Because that's what Paul told the church, told Timothy the pastor, and I'm telling you, the first of all, the most important meeting is to be at the prayer. We need to pray. Okay? Yes, some people say, oh, we can pray at home, that's fine. But when the church comes together, there's a different kind of power. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. I pray as we seek to be a prayerful church. Lord, we are just normal size. We're just common people. But Father, we have seen in the Bible how one man, Moses, one man, Abraham, Lord, when Joshua prayed for the sun to stand still, that he may finish your will, one man, Nehemiah, a prayerful, broken man because of Jerusalem's ruins, were willing to pray and fast and mourn and give himself to the work of God. Just one man. Lord, you were able to change things around. Lord, because of Moses' intercession for the children of Israel, you stopped. Lord, your will was to destroy the whole nation and start all over. But because of Moses' intercession, Lord, you saved. Or rather, you allow the nation of Israel to continue. But of course, you destroyed the people who didn't want to follow you. But Lord, help us as a church, everyone, to take prayer seriously. So Lord, bless the service to follow and our mothers here. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.